Governor Jobin from Durham, this is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 11th of December, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Our previous episode, we covered the BBC investigation, which alleged that Georgian authorities used forbidden World War I era chemical camite against protesters in November of last year. This week, on Tuesday tonight, Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze demanded an apology from the BBC and the British government. Despite current and former police officers using contradictory statements days after the investigation was published, Kobakhidze said state security forces actually used chlorobenzaldehyde malonyl nitrate and propylene glycol solution in water cannons, substances he says caused no serious harm. He emphasized that only five people sought treatment for the mild symptoms and quickly were sent home the same day. Because of this, Kobakhidze declared the matter is now closed. However, he is planning to sue the BBC, first with the UK regulator Ofcom, then potentially in court. Up next. Sunday the 7th, far-right political party Alt Info held a protest against the United Arab Emirates investment project called Eagle Hills. They say people will not allow an Arab settlement in the country. Christian clergy were also present during the protest. Core issue is a massive $6.6 billion project that gives the developer vast stretches of land under a contract that the government keeps secret. Critics say the plan creates two settlements, one in Tbilisi, another near Batumi in western Georgia, which will mostly serve Arab tourists. Ecologists particularly worry that the Tbilisi site will destroy the capital's last untouched riverbank forest, which act as a crucial green zone. Experts warn that the project will strain Tbilisi's infrastructure and drastically change the local demography, causing major long-term problems. Speaking of protests, on Tuesday the 9th, the ruling party passed new protest restrictions, making demonstrations harder to organize. New law makes two major changes. First, organizers must now notify the police 5 days before holding a protest that might block any public street or walkway. Second, intentionally blocking pedestrians' walking areas while there's enough space for protests not to do so has become an offense. Police can order organizers to move the demonstration, and failure to comply could lead to administrative arrests of up to 20 days. Anyone who violates these rules repeatedly now faces criminal responsibility. On Tuesday the 9th, International Anti-Corruption Day, or the NGO Transparency International Georgia, or TI Georgia, published an assessment of the country's 2025 corruption landscape. TI Georgia reports that the process of state capture is now complete, and the country now operates as a kleptocracy. The organization says that the inner circle of Bidzina Ivanishvili, founder of the ruling party, holds only a simulated fight against corruption, with high-level corruption remaining systemic. TI Georgia notes that the government is actively dismantling the Anti-Corruption Bureau and has banned state cooperation with civil society, which they call a direct attack on anti-corruption efforts. The organization added that the country is ignoring international anti-corruption obligations it has signed. On Tuesday the 9th, Shalva Papuashvili, the parliamentary chair, spoke about NATO in an interview with state propaganda channel Rustavi Ori, saying that NATO's open-door policy resembles a carrot hanging in front of a donkey. The animal can never actually reach the food. He demanded a clear answer from Western partners on whether the open door is a real opportunity or merely a tool to manipulate Georgian policy. He also highlighted the tragedy of Ukraine, which pays in blood for the right to NATO membership, as he referred to it. For context, Georgia's constitution said that all constitutional bodies must take every measure to ensure the country's full integration into NATO and the EU. In other news, ruling party is fast-tracking changes on the law on higher education, drastically overhauling how universities receive funding. The most significant change is that starting in 2026, students enrolling in private universities will no longer receive state grants or government financial assistance. However, this will not affect students who are already receiving them. Under the new model, tuition at government-funded state universities will become completely free for new bachelor and master students. The government will also take on new powers, including determining student enrollment quotas based on its perception of labor market needs and establishing specific educational programs that universities can implement. Officials say the goal is to align education better with state priorities. Yeah. On Monday the 8th, the Ministry of Economy announced that they're letting a one-time shipment of fuel pass from Azerbaijan to Armenia through Georgia free of charge. Since Armenia and Azerbaijan have a long history of conflict, this fuel transit is a sign of warming relations and trade progress between the two countries, which could make the South Caucasus region more stable. This move comes after some Azerbaijani media outlets recently said that Tbilisi was trying to charge a huge fee to use the railway. However, Prime Minister Kobakhidze instructed Georgian Railways to organize free transit saying Georgia is a reliable partner supporting peace and cooperation in the region. On Thursday, the 11th, Israeli media reported that several Knesset members canceled their planned visit to Georgia after receiving information about a potential terrorist threat. Lawmakers were planning to attend the Israel Week conference organized by the Israel-Georgia Chamber of Commerce on the 13th and 14th of December. The meeting was intended to discuss business support for Israel and anti-hatred campaigns. Itzhak Moshe, the Israel-Georgia Chamber head, said that the event will still take place, but the Knesset members will likely participate remotely. Georgia will forgive 1 billion lari, which is $350 million in accumulated penalties and fines owned by energy sector companies. On Wednesday the 10th, Prime Minister Kobakhidze said these debts block the development of the energy system, and all companies involved in renewable energy projects will benefit from this debt relief, removing a significant financial barrier to new investments. However, companies fail to meet new updated project deadlines, they must pay both the newly accrued fines and the forgiven penalties. On Wednesday the 10th, independent news outlet OC Media reported that David Kuchailashvili, husband of Georgia's new ambassador to the U.S., Tamar Taliashvili, founded and manages a Moscow law firm called DTK Partners. This firm specializes in helping Russian clients navigate and avoid sanctions and assets freezes imposed by the United States and the European Union. Kuchailashvili removed his profile from the firm's website shortly after his wife's appointment. Radio Free Europe published an investigation saying that the country might be on the verge of a bird flu outbreak, which is already causing a shortage of eggs in stores. Local experts say the current virus strain is rarely transmitted to humans and is usually not even deadly to chickens, but it dramatically reduces their ability to lay eggs, sometimes by almost half, and affects egg quality. The virus has hit most farms in eastern Georgia, pushing the country close to a major outbreak. Local companies, which supply nearly all of Georgia's eggs, are now trying to cover the massive deficit by importing eggs from Turkey and Armenia. Veterinarians say both authorities and the Poultry Association acted too slowly, allowing the virus to spread widely. Closing this edition on Monday the 8th, the excellent monthly journal Geopolitics published an article by Sergei Kapanadze entitled 5 Minutes from Dictatorship, which provides an in-depth analysis of the dramatic changes Georgia has experienced in the past few years. The author says Georgia is transforming from a Western allied reformer country into an authoritarian state aligned with the Kremlin. This regime is cracking down on all forms of critical voices and opposition parties with ferocity and speed that was unimaginable just a couple of years ago. Kapanadze also talks about the failure of Western sanctions to produce any meaningful results to stop democratic backsliding and discusses financial leverage the West could use to save Georgia's fledgling democracy. Also essays by Hans Kudbrot and other luminaries. Check the link in the show notes. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Our new very cool t-shirts are out now. Check them out in the show notes. Nachwandis.